B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you're stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
p.m. Thursday afternoon, hour number two, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today, Jim Murray alongside. So let me tell you how I think this top 10 list by Jeremy Fowler, again, the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, is assessed by a panel of 50 NFL experts that include executives, players, coaches, who knows what, from every organization, according to Jeremy Fowler. If Cam Newton plays at his ceiling, does he crack this list next year, Murray?
No.
Oh, see, I think he does.
No.
I think he does.
Because I think there's too much upside for younger guys that I would put ahead of him, like Kyler Murray. I mean, if you're talking Cam Newton 2015, then yes, but I don't think he's ever going to reach that level again.
Okay, see, I think he could reach that level again. I don't rule that out because he's only 31. Now, the miles, different, but again, agree to disagree, it's fine. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could crack this top 10. Here's the current top 10 according to Jeremy Fowler. And again, to his panel is really what I should say. Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers is third, Watson, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson sixth. A lot of people took issue with that. Do you have issue with Lamar Jackson being that low?
He's third to me in the league. I think that, and I, you know, in reading what some one, what was it, one unnamed AFC exec said that, you know, that Jackson, it basically like the, he's being hidden by their offense. Like they're still trying to protect him. There's flaws in his game. But then another made the counter, which I believe is that, you know, defenses and defensive coordinators did all that they could do to prepare for this kid last year. And he made them look foolish week after week. And I know he kind of got a little bit exposed and there's some concerns, and I have them too, for how he looked in that playoff game. And he's now 0-2 in the playoffs. But the kid's the MVP of the league. And I just think until he truly gets exposed, I still think he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the game. I think there's just so much upside with him. I'm going to put him in the top five just regardless of that.
So the upside's off the charts, right? I mean, off the charts. But Lamar Jackson is going to continue to run into this, which is the doubt, until he does it in the postseason. So this is 2 years in a row now. Baltimore was 14-2 last year. They had a bye. They played at home and they lost. And he didn't look good in that game.
Here was the line I was looking for. The Ravens' offense is built around his skill set, but it masks a passer who was good but not great. And I get that argument, but I don't know, just based on his speed alone, again, how many defenses felt like they were completely prepared for him last year, including Bill Belichick, the defensive mastermind, and he made them look foolish.
He's got to win in the postseason now.
Sure.
Tom Brady is 7. Too high or too low or just right?
Just right. I mean, I have him 6th in my, if I were to rank my 15 top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, so I think that's fair.
So, interesting comment in here by a veteran NFL quarterback that was on Fowler's panel. If he was still in New England, said the former player, I'm not sure I'd put him on the list. I'd put him on there because he's in Tampa. He's got weapons. He processes at such a high rate that when you have pieces around you, it still works. And someone else, an NFL coordinator, likened Brady in Tampa to Manning in Denver. Okay, Peyton Manning in Denver. Number 8, Carson Wentz. Number 9, Dak Prescott. Number 10, Matthew Stafford. Okay, those are your 10 best quarterbacks in the league.
Some of those guys are way too high.
Okay, so again, you get down to Wentz and Stafford, and I look at that and say, Cam Newton can be better than those guys. He can totally be better than those guys, which is why I think that he can crack that list if he hits his ceiling. Jarrett Stidham doesn't get there. Jarrett Stidham's not going to get into the top 10. And just as a point of note, because Fowler's a few days into this, again, he's done tight ends. Gronk was listed as the 4th best tight end in the league, according to this poll that Jeremy Fowler did. Okay, Gronk was 4th, and he didn't play last year.
That seems high.
It's ridiculously high. So we'll see what Gronk has left. But Gronk was number 4, Brady was number 7, but no current Patriots on any of the 3 positions, including running back, which was today. So no Patriot at tight end, no Patriot at quarterback, no Patriot at running back.
You're kidding. I mean, I hear all these good things, though, about Sony Michel. And you know, get to go back to how, you know, how much he meant to the team in 2018 and that playoff run and winning the Super Bowl. You mean to tell me he doesn't make the top 10? You're kidding me.
So Murray now.
And how about that? He didn't even make the honorable mentions either.
Not even close.
Wow.
Not even close. Huh. Now, the one thing I do find interesting about that storyline is when Fowler's all done, how many Patriots are going to crack the top 10? How many Patriots will be on this list?
I think two.
Okay, so you're going to say Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, maybe McCourty.
Okay, I bet you Joe Tooney's on there,
if he's
too.
Doing offensive line, Joe Tooney, absolutely.
Okay, because Tooney's stock right now is so high to the point where I think it's ridiculous, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there because I know, Murray, you mentioned it yesterday, and it's a good thing to sort of read. It's got some good little nuggets and info there about the players in the league, how they're perceived. And also, I think there is it's interesting to think of where Cam Newton could slot in that hierarchy. If he produces for the Patriots like he did at his peak with Carolina. And also, as we go through position by position, let's see where the Patriots stack up.
Yeah, and I'm usually not one of those guys. Again, going back to Aaron Rodgers, I'm not usually one of those, like, you know, you hear the callers like, why don't you say this about Rodgers and look at these stats? Like, there's a whiny Patriots fan aspect about Aaron Rodgers. But these last couple of years and him being ranked third in this thing, like, he's starting to get towards, like, how it was with Favre around that age as he got up there in age. You're kind of living off the name more than anything else in your one Super Bowl.
Oh, I agree. Rodgers should be lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers should be lower. I'd put Drew Brees higher than Rodgers, and I think he was a spot behind. Brees, to me, has been a better player than Rodgers the last couple of years, and last year even, if they're going off of just one season. Where they rank right now, I think Brees is playing better than Rodgers is. As it relates to Cam Newton, again, that hype video came out. Holy crap, or hype videos, I should say. I keep saying video as if there were one. There are multiple versions. There is, there is what I would call also hype material out there on Cam Newton about his role in the community, what he means to a community. The Cam Newton campaign is in full force. It is at 100%. They are pumping the crap out of Cam Newton. Are they really doing that for a backup quarterback? Are there those of you out there who still believe that Cam Newton is going to back up Jarrett Stidham? Because Murray thinks you're out of your mind.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Or Brian Hoyer, for that matter, Greg Bedard. But Murray thinks you're out of your mind, and I agree with Murray. I think Murray's 100% right. David in New Bedford, go ahead.
Yes, I think that video proves that Cam Newton will be the starter, because why otherwise would the Patriots put it out there? And I think if Cam Newton's healthy, I could see the Patriots at least getting to the AFC Championship game and maybe the Super Bowl, and that's my thought. Thank you.
Okay, look, I just think that Newton obviously has a higher ceiling. I don't think that is even debatable. The guy's one of the great athletes to ever play the position in the league. And if he and Belichick can use each other mutually, then this thing can work. We've seen it work in the past. Lots of guys can pop in here for a short burst. He gets something out of it. The team gets something out of it. Everybody's happy. I think there's a potential there for a great marriage. It's also, in many ways, a fascinating marriage because of the stylistic differences between Newton and Brady on the field, between Newton and Belichick off the field, the personality differences, all of it. It's great. The Patriots can make it work. It's a great, great, great story. Really. John in Connecticut on Cam Newton. Go ahead.
I think that Bill just got tired of essentially Brady keep talking, you know, doing what he's doing down in Tampa. So he said, you know what, Tom? We're going to go back to what was happening, like 2 or 3 years ago when they were bad-mouthing him, saying that, well, we can do what we're doing right now with any mid-tier quarterback. So as soon as someone was available and obviously at a cheaper price, they brought Cam in to prove his point. You know, he's probably just had enough with Tom at this point.
So, John, would you call Cam Newton, though, a mid-tier quarterback?
I would. I mean, what he's done the last 2 years, that's what I would say exactly. I mean, he's been hurt. He hasn't exactly lightened it up.
Okay, the last 2 years, I'd say he's a lower-tier quarterback. I mean, he didn't play well a couple of years ago. He had a shoulder issue.
Straight up washed up.
He's lost 8 straight games.
Yeah. I mean, really? Is that what it is, Joe? 0-8,
yeah,
right?
0-8.
Yeah, 0-8 in his last 8 starts. So, mid-tier is kind over the last couple of years. But if he's right, is he a mid-tier quarterback? He's a mid-tier passer. But is he a mid-tier quarterback?
No, if he's fully healthy, no, not at all. He's above that.
Yeah, I think he's above that, too. And so, but to Joe's point, Belichick would have been able to prove more by winning with Hoyer or Stidham. He doesn't get the same sort of juice out of that part of it. It's less about Bill if Newton comes in. In fact, in a lot of ways, and I know Felger touched on this, but it's worth repeating. It's a good point. in a lot of ways, you give Bill credit for bringing in Newton, because what Bill is doing is he's putting the team first. He's putting winning first. And if he believes in Newton more than he believes in Jarrett Stidham, and Newton can win him more games, well, then that's the right thing to do. If he's more interested in proving that he can win without Brady and plug in any jamoke at quarterback, well, then he's better off doing that with Jarrett Stidham or with Brian Hoyer. So Newton takes away some of that. Newton is one of the most unique athletes ever at that position. I mean, the guy is, Murray, we've said that. I think I've used the analogy. People have described him, he's built like a defensive end.
Oh, he's built like a linebacker.
Like a tight end.
Yeah.
He is an absolute giant at his position. And so, to me, defending Cam Newton is borderline impossible if he's at the top of his game. It's really hard to do. So I would never say the same about Hoyer or Stidham. You could take the best qualities out of those two guys, put them in together, put them in a lab, you'd still get about one-third of Cam Newton, if that. Are we being serious with that? And these jackasses out there who still think that somehow Stidham's going to start if Newton comes in and is healthy after watching that hype video? Oh, please. It's Cam Newton's team. It is Cam Newton's team. As long as he's healthy and ready to go. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with this discussion. And at some point here in this hour or two, I'm going to update you on some of the particulars with the NHL plan if you haven't seen those. Because we have hard dates for this year and next year. And it feels to me like the NHL has been on top of it really more than any other league from the very beginning. And also something that Bob McKenzie said later this hour. That, to me, really hit home on a couple of levels, and we'll tell you what that is when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If Cam Newton is fully healthy, is there any way anyone other than Cam Newton is a starter for the Patriots this season?
In my mind, absolutely no. I think there's a 0% chance of a healthy Cam Newton not being your starting quarterback. There's very few quarterback competitions that go on around the NFL, and the Patriots are not any different than most of these other teams. Now, you could sit there and say, I don't know, Chicago with Trubisky and Foles, that's probably a legitimate competition. Some of the places where there's an incoming rookie and an incumbent veteran, maybe you have to make the rookie earn it first. But in the vast majority of NFL cities, there's a starting quarterback, and you know who that is, and he's going to start the season. There's no competition here. And again, this is a little unique because it's so late, and it's about health. And I think the way you said it, Tony, if you're going to phrase it to me like that, a healthy Cam Newton, I say 0% chance that he is not the starting quarterback.
That's Paul Perillo, Patriots Football, Patriots.com, rather. I keep wanting to say Patriots Football Weekly out of force of habit. Paul with us the last hour. He, too, like many, Cam Newton's here to start. There are still people out there resisting that probability. Okay, and again, I issue the asterisk or the disclaimer of health because that's always there. In fact, it's so constant, that thing, if healthy, that you really should just take it out. Cam Newton's here to be the starter. If he gets hurt, well, that's obvious. Then everything changes, or if he's not healthy, he's not the same guy, then everything is a little bit different. But those hype videos, the Patriots are anti-individual hype. They really, it goes against everything they try to preach down there. It's always about the greater good, the collective versus the individual. It's always about that. All of a sudden, they're going to put out, they sign Cam Newton, and there are all kinds of hype videos talking about, obviously demonstrating his drive, his abilities, his work in the community. They just brought this guy in, and they're already building the whole thing around him, on the field and off. And they're incredibly, there are still those of you who believe that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the starting quarterback. Paul's in Somerville. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, Well, here's my question to you guys. Do you think there's a large segment of the Boston media that doesn't want Cam Newton to succeed in New England?
Because
why? If he does, we know what that means for the people who still can't leave the Binky alone. What do you think?
You're talking about because they have a loyalty to Brady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, I can never tell.
You're sitting next to one.
Okay, so Paul, I can never tell because honestly, sometimes you just sound so smug that who knows what the hell you're referencing. So, Murray, do you want to see Cam Newton fail?
No, not at all. No, I actually think this team is going, again, if nothing else, the team is going to be infinitely more exciting than I thought they were going to be if it was going to be Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham at quarterback this year. Now I actually feel like they have a chance to maybe go to the Super Bowl. So why would I be rooting against him?
So, look, there are always those people out there that are going to have Brady as their binky. Kristen Rainham is a huge Brady guy, and I'm not mocking him for it. There's a good reason he's that way. I do think there was a bigger percentage of the fan base than people want to admit that, and I use this word loosely, that are happy Brady is gone because they're ready to turn the page. Okay, happy's the wrong word, but you get
I don't
the idea.
After how last year played out, I didn't want to see him here anymore and have him, you know, go through the week to week like he's miserable and he hates being here. I hated that. So I'm glad that he's gone and seems reinvigorated. Now, if you were to ask me which team would I prefer win the Super Bowl this year? Oh, it's the Bucks and Brady.
Wouldn't it be a great story, though, if Cam Newton came here and they win the Super Bowl? Wouldn't that be a great story, too?
Sure, but I'd rather it be the Bucks and Brady.
I mean, so look, again, you got plenty to watch now, assuming we can get everybody back on the field, Murray. But, you know, to me, I felt this way for a long time. It's better for everybody that Brady's gone. Better for everybody. And now it's better for Cam Newton, too. John's in Ocam. Go ahead, John.
Hey, so real quick, a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about whether or not they're going to give Cam Newton the Tom Brady treatment or if they're going to give him the first overall MVP kind of baby him treatment. I think this hype video is the first step to giving them the latter. What I called about is I wanted to know an answer to this question. Cam Newton, say, theoretically has a good, not fully successful year, makes it to the playoffs, loses in the first or second round the next year. What do you think the likelihood is he signs a team-friendly year trying to chase championships over the next 4 or 5 years with Bill, and what are the chances that's what the Patriots want? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, John. So we touched on this with Perillo, too, and we can play that for you in just a bit. But, Murray, do you think Newton, is there any chance that if he has a good year and that it works that they have a long-term relationship ahead of them?
No, only because of the age and what the money he'd be looking for in free agency. I think this is just a one-and-done.
Joe Murray, what about you? You think there's any chance that Cam Newton's here beyond a year?
The only thing that is maybe they franchise him if they can't find the right guy. If the guy's not available in the draft, if Deshaun Watson's not available, maybe they franchise him for a year because they have over $100 million in cap space. But I think it's a one-and-done deal like many others.
Okay. And if they were to franchise him again, wouldn't that really be an indictment on Stidham?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if Stidham's not ready to be the starter by next year, at this time, and again, assuming the world is not locked down in the midst of a pandemic, boy, that would be a really bad sign about the future of the quarterback position in New England, wouldn't it?
Career backup.
Murray, I get the sense you're secretly hoping for it.
Yeah, well, only because, like, that narrative that was shoved down everyone's throat here for the last year, it's Stidham. Oh, I've never seen a quarterback look this good, this young at training camp before, even better than Garoppolo. Oh, no, like, all these columns about Stidham, which ended up being, well, either these guys got lied to, all the beat writers that have been shoving this narrative down our throats here for the last year, or something has happened with this guy that has given the Patriots doubt. It's one or the other.
I mean, to me, I hope Stidham can play. I do. I hope he can play. I think it adds to the story. But if he can't, I mean, first of all, the fact that Newton is here, again, is some indication that the Patriots have doubt. Fact. If they 100% believed in Stidham, Newton wouldn't be here at all. So they have some doubt about Stidham, at least they do right now. And if they have some right now, how the hell can you guarantee the long term? If a year from now Cam Newton is back or they've drafted another quarterback, then you really have your answer. Nick is in a car. Nick, go.
Hey, guys. How do you think they kind of touched on it, but how do you think how this coincides with the fact that we have a ton of cap space coming in next year? It's kind of a pay-to-play for a contract position. But also on the other side of that, you know that Belichick definitely wants to win without Brady. If Cam stays, gets paid, and plays and wins, they all win. So I think they're pushing for this.
Oh, listen, Nick, in the short term, again, it benefits everybody. It's good for Newton. He gets to sort of rebuild his standing in the league or reclaim his standing in the league, proved everybody he's healthy, proved that he has many good years left. Then he hits the market again a year from now, and he makes himself some money. Or the Patriots franchise him, work with him on a trade, and trade him somewhere else. I see, Joe, independent of the salary cap space, I don't see the Patriots franchising him.
Yeah.
And keeping him. Let me finish the thought. I don't see them franchising him with the intention of keeping him and paying him that money.
But what if, and so I'm kind of with Joe on this, because I think you've alluded to it a little bit here this week, Joe, is that, so say this works with Cam Newton this year, and, you know, they go on a deep playoff run, whatever. It's successful with Cam Newton, but ultimately they decide he's not the guy going forward. But they've proven they can do a different type of thing with a different type of quarterback, an athletic quarterback. You have a guy that's much younger that's also going to be a free agent, Deshaun Watson. They have all that cap space. Do you think it's out of the realm of possibility that they prove it works with Cam Newton? They run a different kind of offense with athletic quarterback. Watson's available. They go get him. I think that could be in play.
And listen, I've read this a few places, but don't be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo is back on that list for the Patriots in a year or two as well. You know, when he becomes available at some point. But next year, like, quarterbacks who could be available, Mitch Trubisky, like, the Patriots aren't going to go after a guy like that. Watson just got his option picked up. Prescott will be available. The Fitzpatricks of the world is still there. And then if you look at the draft picks, like, Trevor Lawrence clearly is the top guy, Fields, and then there's the kid Lance from North Dakota State. But there's nobody in that college, you know, that I think that could step in right away. So I don't know. Maybe this could be a thing where Newton does play this year. Maybe they do franchise him and then trade him off. But that might be the only way you can get a Deshaun Watson or get one of those type of players.
So, Joe, when you say Garoppolo, do you mean on the occasion that a team like the Niners decides not to exercise effectively an option on him and he becomes a free agent?
Yes, or trade.
Okay. So the reason I ask that is because if that happens, well, then that means the price comes down. There's a reason that the Niners aren't keeping him. The price on Garoppolo comes down. I just think that is the more likely scenario. And I don't even mean Garoppolo, because you know how I feel about him, Murray.
Yeah. No, they had the gun. They just don't bring him back. Please.
Okay. So, but I think it's more along the lines of what Newton is, which is a guy whose stock has dropped and they can get him. I just don't see the Patriots giving a landmark deal to a quarterback. I don't think that they really will do it for just about anybody. This is why I said the other day when we asked the question about the Mahomes contract, would the Patriots ever do that sort of deal? I say no. So whether it's Mahomes, whether it's Deshaun Watson, if that guy hits the market, I don't think the Patriots are going to be one of those teams that just dump a pile of money in front of them. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they will find another way to fill the quarterback position. 617-779-0985. Joe Murray's got your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If this gets ratified this week, and it should by both the governors and the players, camps open on Monday, July 13th. The teams would leave their training camps in their home NHL cities and go July 26th to Edmonton for the Western Conference teams and to Toronto for the Eastern Conference teams. And we would have games start playing, meaningful games, happening on August 1st.
Bob McKenzie of TSN in Canada is on a podcast. And I think that is worth noting. The calendar for the NHL, because frankly, this has been a really important week for the return of sports. And we haven't spent a ton of time on it. We've been caught up on other things, but we'll do this quickly, and then we'll get back to your phone calls because we're going to continue the discussion on Cam Newton. But this is worth talking about, especially really when you consider in the last couple of days, the Ivy League has canceled fall sports. Stanford just wiped out 11 athletic programs because of funding issues. And the Ivy League is noteworthy because in the spring, the Ivy League was ahead of the curve in terms of cancellations. So once the Ivy League made its decision, and I don't mean that the others necessarily followed, I just mean that the Ivy League got there first.
Yeah, but I still think it, when it comes to Ivy League football, it's a quaint extracurricular activity.
Right. And, it's like glorified high school football.
Yeah, and Joe, you got some update, right?
Yeah, you probably saw this, but the Big Ten this year will only play a Big Ten schedule in football.
Okay.
And that's not good. There was supposed to be Penn State, Oregon. There was supposed to be some really good college football games this year.
And so this was sort of my point, that if you look at that and you say, well, there's reason for pessimism there. Like that would inspire you to think negatively about the return of sports. And yet, I would tell you, last night was extremely noteworthy. Do you know why? You know what happened last night?
I watched Family Feud.
How was it? Was it good?
Oh, always.
Was it Gronk on there?
Joe Murray, do you know why last night was important? What milestone, and again, I use that term loosely, but what milestone did we eclipse last night?
There was a professional sporting league that began last night.
Correct. Men's team sports.
Oh, right.
First men's team sport. I know,
the
Murray,
MLS is back.
I know you don't care, Murray. I know you don't, but nonetheless, it was a professional men's team sport back on the field last night. Right? The MLS did return last night. And for the first time on these airwaves tonight, for the first time in months, we will have a live sporting event because the Revs will be on at 8 o'clock. You've heard Joe Murray talk about promoting the game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Joe, you said the game begins at 8 o'clock, right?
8 o'clock right here on The Sports Hub.
And so now those are relatively small things comparatively to what we typically are accustomed to here. But nonetheless, at the same time, I would tell you the Red Sox are over on the field at Fenway Park. They're having an inter-squad scrimmage today. And so certainly guys are opting out. Certainly guys are being tested and coming up positive. But it does seem like, for the most part, these leagues are going ahead. And the Celtics flew to Orlando yesterday. They are now in the bubble. They will be in that bubble for a period of 36 to 48 hours. They will then start their training camp this weekend. And that will continue till the end of July, and then on July 30th, NBA games will begin. So starting in a couple of days, or really starting today, between teams that have already traveled, and because some teams have already gone to Orlando, training camp starts for the NBA. That'll go on for a period of about 3 weeks, and then they will about ramp up toward games. The NHL calendar that Bob McKenzie talked about, I think, is also worth touching on and is noteworthy because not only does it outline the rest of this year, and for some reason I view these dates as more concrete than some of the other speculative dates that come along the way, but camp opens on Monday for all NHL teams. They'll do so at their home facilities for 2 weeks. On the 26th, the Bruins will travel to Toronto. On August 1st, 5 days later, after quarantining and then acclimation, call it whatever you want, that qualifying round starts August 1st. 10 days after that, from August 10 to 12th, the second phase of the draft lottery, remember that? These teams that get eliminated in the qualifying round will qualify for the draft lottery. And one of those teams, Murray, will get the number one pick.
Such a crock. It's going to be Montreal.
Then the finals on September 20th, and I won't go through all the details because this calendar could obviously get upended again. But December 1, the NHL will begin next season. They've already declared that they will do that on December 1st. So I just think some interesting dates there and happenings with regard to the other leagues. And that part of it is a good sign. It feels like we're getting a little closer. And then now, no way to predict how the virus is going to respond, how these bubbles are going to react if they're maintained. And I speak of the bubbles in hockey and basketball. Obviously, baseball's got sort of a different operation there with the teams playing in their home stadiums. But we are getting closer. Major League Baseball is going to open 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from tonight will be the first game in Major League Baseball. And that will be the first game from the four major sports leagues. Again, the MLS returned last night. But baseball will be back in 2 weeks, barring some sort of
massive outbreak.
Derailing. Yeah, derailing.
Failure from the top down.
Which, again, none of us should eliminate because we all know the possibilities of that. And, at one point in that podcast that McKenzie did today, he made reference to what is happening in the United States right now. Okay? And it was I don't think he meant it critically, but it might as well have been, because this thing's a complete poop show at the moment. So back to your calls, but just nice to know that things are progressing and there are some hard dates to look forward to. Adam is in a car. Adam, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know the Murrays were kind of talking about it earlier, but is it really that important that we really the Patriots show that they can succeed on offense with a dual threat quarterback? Or are we just overestimating how long we've been seeing just one style of a quarterback for like 25, 30 years? Thanks for taking my call. I really look forward to hearing what you guys are saying.
So, Adam, the big thing to me is about the coaching and how you amplify the skills of the player who's at the center of the offense. That's really all it is. I just don't think you can run the same offense that you ran with Tom Brady and expect to be successful, because Brady was excellent at it, and I don't think that that's Cam Newton's strength. So don't you have to build the offense around Newton?
Yeah. I think you can keep elements of what you've done over the last 20 years.
No question.
You have to play to his strengths. No doubt about that.
And I just think there's no more pocket passers. Like, the whole league is shifting towards this mobile quarterback that can move in the pocket and create. And last year, because they had a pocket quarterback, those receivers just couldn't create, right? So if you get a guy who can move around a little bit, maybe these receivers can get open a bit more. But we just went over that top 10 list. Like, the guys at the top there, they can all move in the pocket. You know, Breeze is still a pocket passer. Brady's seventh and still a pocket passer. But Dak, Carson Wentz, Kyler Murray, what he can do? There's probably only four legit pocket passers in the league and probably one coming out of college next year. So, like, the whole league is changing into that mobile quarterback now.
So it's interesting you put it that way, because I always wonder with Belichick, he's one of these guys that's typically ahead of the curve. Like, are the Patriots a little behind it here? You know, or does Bill look at it this, you know, like he did 2 years ago in 2018 when the Patriots were having difficulty passing the ball and the league had turned into a passing league? And what did he do? He loaded up on the offensive line and ran people over because he knew teams weren't equipped to handle that when they got into the postseason. Now, I don't know if he planned to win a Super Bowl doing it that way, but he knew that that was his best chance and they pulled it off with that in defense. Anyway, it's a good point, Joe, when you look at those quarterbacks. It's a good point. I never really thought of it in those terms, but the mobility at that position now is totally different. 617-779-0985 on Felger and Maz with Jim Murray. Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Patriots clearly pumping the crap out of Cam Newton. Those hype videos hit the internet last night. Mike's on the pike. Mike, what do you got?
Hey, guys. At first when I heard about Cam, I was like, the whole Superman thing and kind of goofy. But then I remember a couple of years ago we played him. We couldn't put our hands on him. He was 15 yards behind the line one time, and we just couldn't stop him. And he's one of those tall guys that runs, and he looks like Brady, but he's picking up like 5 yards, 10 yards, 20 yards. How does it look the same? Is it like an optical illusion? I wonder if you guys can explain that for me.
Okay, so I don't understand the last part. What is an optical illusion? What does he mean by that?
No, I don't know.
Any idea? Look, so Belichick has said, and when Cam Newton is at the top of of his game, he's an incredibly difficult guy to defend. And that's even with limited weapons. He hasn't always had the best weapons around him, whether he's played here or anywhere else. So Greg Olsen, certainly the year he got Christian McCaffrey, the second year he had Christian McCaffrey, he completed a much higher percentage of his passes. Norv Turner made it a more efficient offense for him. I don't want to say simpler, but more efficient, certainly. Made safer, easier throws, which any coordinator would do with any quarterback. Hell, Kyle Shanahan did the same thing for Garoppolo. Simple, easy throws. Belichick or Brady, you know, Brady could make them at the end, but at the beginning it was about making it easy on Brady.
Maybe he was alluding to the fact that Cam Newton, when he's right, has the ability to make guys who are stiffs look good.
Absolutely. I mean,
that last game that they played, regular season game in 2017, that they lost, the Patriots lost here by 3 points. I mean, Newton was ridiculous in the game, that game. That was the Fozzie Whitaker down the sideline
game. Correct.
Kelvin Benjamin, who's a pant load, had over 100 yards. Like, he's been surrounded with a lot of crap on that team when he was there, and he's made guys that stink look pretty good.
And not to mention, a lot of those Carolina Panthers have come to New England as well and done well in that first year. Brandon LaFell came in, had a really Chris Hogan, if you remember, had a pretty good year. Donald Hayes years ago didn't work out. But for the most part, though, they've had those guys come in. And then if you look at the team they have now, like James White, I mean, I know Christian McCaffrey and him, but probably two completely different players. But I think James White can be like, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey-like in this offense this year. And again, I'm going to bring up N'Keal Harry. I think he's a guy that can really play well in this offense trying to get open. I think the Patriots hurt Harry last year, playing him in that stupid preseason game, hurting his hamstring, putting him on IR. Brady gave up on him last year. I don't think Cam Newton can give up on these guys, and I don't think that's talked about enough. Like, Cam Newton, he's going to go out there and throw to whoever can get open. Brady made friends with guys and then wanted to get him involved.
Yeah, Cam Newton's not going to give up on these guys because he can't give up on himself. His career is at stake now. So relying on those guys would be a critical part of it. I just think with Newton out there, oh my gosh, does the season get infinitely more interesting and the offense get potentially more explosive? Again, with Stidham there, we were talking about what? Dumbing it down. Keeping it simple.
Winning games like 19-17.
Right. You're only going to be doing it a certain way, even with Hoyer. Whether it's Hoyer or Stidham, it's about avoiding mistakes. That's what it's about. With those guys, it's about avoiding mistakes. With Newton, you're making plays. Your quarterback's going to make plays. They're going to be different than the ones that Brady made. And again, if you watch the hype video, please, I would love to hear from you who think that Jarrett Stidham's still going to be the quarterback. Murray, those two jackass knucklehead clowns who called
yesterday. I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, too, is a possibility. If you happen to think that Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter, yes, we want to hear from you, too. I agree. Except for Greg Bedard, we already know where he stands on that one. But the idea, again, Murray got so offended by this yesterday. Like, there were people who called up and said they're going to rotate quarterbacks. You know, Newton's going to come in on certain plays. They're going to change it week to week and game plan it. Sometimes they're going to change it from series to series. Murray was so disgusted.
Oh, it just doesn't take much nowadays. I exist on a day-to-day level of, like, just pissed. So it doesn't take much to, you know, push me into the red even
You don't
further.
Like the Cam Newton coming in around the goal line in the red zone?
Oh, no.
Called the Newton area?
Is that really a thing? It's the Newton. Oh, God. Oh, I hope that's not a thing that people are saying.
Yeah,
I made that.
Okay. I wouldn't put it past people, though, Joe.
They're going to make him the fullback. Yeah. The Newton area, that's how you describe it, huh? Newtonville. You can go with that one.
Yeah.
You're going to play this stupid game? Yeah, I'm going to call and give him my idea. Our buddy Guy in Boston. What's up, Guy?
Hey, Maz, let me tell you something. You're sounding more and more like Felger. And I want to tell Murray.
Joe, it's the chair. Guy, it's the chair. It's the chair guy.
Yeah, I want to tell Jim Murray, if I worked in that studio, I'd always have a bottle of Quavo on hand. Number two, you're talking about, first there was Garoppolo, then there was Stidham. Now this, do you people remember the Cam Newton? Even the Cleveland Browns didn't want him. And you keep saying, what if this, what if that? And if my aunt had a wanger, she'd be my uncle. Thank you.
I like that guy.
Oh, he's the best. Guy is the best. I'm telling you, his calls are worth replaying. They're so good. Really. I think he's the best caller we have, Murray.
He's up there. Yeah.
So you're right. It's really about putting him in a class. He's in the top class of callers that we have. Dana's in Warwick. Dana, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good show today. So I'm pretty happy with the Cam signing personally myself. But doesn't Jarrett Stidham actually have like a one-year head start on the playbook versus Cam? And just the other night, Cam posted something. It looked like he had a playbook in front of him. He was writing his own notes, and he just had like, this is like chemistry with a couple of exclamation points.
Calculus. So, yes, he said calculus. Yeah.
Calculus. Right. So doesn't that kind of give Stidham a little leg up on this? I mean, I know Cam probably has a lot more skill and obviously a lot more experience, but see, I mean, we all know that this playbook is supposed to be really complicated and And it seems to me that Stidham's got a little bit of a head start. What do you think?
Okay, Dana, don't hang up. If we're talking about knowledge of the playbook and experience with the playbook of the three quarterbacks in camp, and I'm not including the non-roster guys or the undrafted guys, okay? But of the three quarterbacks, Hoyer, Stidham, and Newton, who's got the most familiarity with the playbook?
Hoyer.
Okay, do you want him to play?
No, because he doesn't have as much skill. He's got the knowledge, but he can't execute it as well.
Okay, does Stidham, can Stidham execute it?
I think Stidham is above Hoyer as far as execution, and he's got, you know, a year's worth of experience in the playbook. I know that Hoyer's got more, but I think that Stidham's just got more skill at the position than Hoyer.
Okay, so again, now this gets into semantics, but when you say you think he can execute it better, I'm not sure of that.
And we don't really know.
And if Bill Belichick believed that, would Cam Newton be here? So that's the one I kept coming back to. The day they brought Newton in, and I admit, when we heard that Newton was available, Murray, from the very beginning when the topic came up, I said, they're not going to bring in Cam Newton. It just doesn't fit. He's not a fit. He's not, again, the style of player he is, the mobile quarterback and the athleticism, and they like, I thought that they wanted somebody who was a little bit more of a pocket passer and a traditional pocket quarterback.
Yeah, there was more buzz about Andy Dalton than anybody else for all the guys that were, you know, free agents.
Because, again, and I thought the Stidham factor was an element that they wanted, if they were going to bring in someone who could go either way. In other words, Stidham might be ready at the middle of the year, so you could have someone ready to move out of there. If Stidham is ready, that Dalton would be the better fit. I felt that way strongly at the beginning. I thought there was almost zero chance that they would sign Cam Newton. And I never say never with the Patriots, because why would you? They're the Patriots, and he's Belichick. So you never know what's coming. But I do look at it now, and I say, man, I'm glad they did it. I didn't see it coming. And now that he's here, he has to play. He has to play. He's easily the most talented quarterback you have, at least right now. He has easily the most upside. That might be now or in 5 years. Cam Newton, none of those guys, Hoyer certainly doesn't. Stidham's upside, we don't know yet, but Stidham's upside might never be what Cam Newton's ceiling was. I just don't see how anybody could possibly look at this right now and think that Jarrett Stidham is going to start week one or whenever it is they begin, and Cam Newton is going to sit. I just cannot see that happening, especially when the Patriots did what they did in the last 24 hours. And if you don't know what that is, we'll remind you right after Joe Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.